You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Sometimes you just need to throw your feet up and mail it in.
I don't expect a lot, man. Pretty much if the hut doesn't burn down, it's been a good day.
It's kind of what we do on Friday.
I was transferring the contents of the file into this flexible accordion-style folder.
I'm not working today, man. I got an earache.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Patriots D-lineman Lawrence Guy will join us in about 5 minutes. It's Pats Chiefs Sunday night. Looking forward to that. We've got to get to level of concern, a game we have not played on this show in a long time, but not much concern when it comes to the Maple Leafs. I mean, they're 4-1 now in the season. They're 3-0 on this road trip. They're in Washington tomorrow night. Morgan Riley, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, top 4 point getters in the NHL. Morgan Riley's beating records held by Bobby Orr. Matthews has 9-5. It's crazy what's going on right now.
Yeah. It's crazy the reaction, too. I know it's overreaction 2 weeks into the season or 10 days, but there's just writers across the country saying, slow down, Maple Leaf fans, slow down.
But why do you have to slow down? Like, that's what I don't think anybody, this is the old parade joke. Nobody makes the joke. Nobody's saying it.
Do they not know what the people in Toronto have been through for 10 to 12 years?
Right. And what the predictions were, that these guys were going to score a lot of goals and win a lot of games. Like, what has happened here, outside of, like, the truly ridiculous stats from these four players in particular?
I don't think anybody saw 9-5 for Matthews.
I think you're right. And I think the more shocking one is Morgan Riley, 12 points in five games.
Nobody saw those.
That's crazy.
I could see them after looking at the schedule, 4-1.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I told you 4-1 and they're lighting the lamp and everything looks good, would you be like, wow, whoa, that's shocking?
4-1, averaging five goals a game early in the season in October against non-playoff teams. Yeah, I could see that. I would have thought, though, the way I'm looking at it, that this scoring would have been a little bit more spread out. Like, Kadri doesn't have a goal yet. The bottom of their lineup hasn't really had to produce, so that we're not really seeing much of it. But I think the only thing that I guess would be, for lack of better words, shocking, I could see Matthews at five goals in five games or six goals. Nine is
he's putting
a massive
two a night.
Number. Yeah, it's a
like
massive
two a
number.
Night. He's just going out there.
And then,
it's clockwork.
Morgan Riley at 12 points. Like, that one I didn't see, because I thought Jake Gardner would be, like, we were talking about it last hour. Guy doesn't have a shot on goal in five games. Not
Ron Hainsey's got goals in back-to-back games. That might be the most shocking stat.
Yeah,
the GOAT is playing. The GOAT.
Nobody's talked about that, how the GOAT is just the fourth line center right now.
I'll take it, man.
I didn't notice much of him. I don't know. What was his stat line last night?
But did you hear his name?
To be determined.
Like,
that's a good thing. He didn't get burned
three times, though, last
night. That's your fourth line centerman's job.
I don't know if we necessarily did.
No, I don't think you did.
So, big game tomorrow night. Leafs in Washington taking on the Caps. If you're lucky enough to catch that, you're in good spirits.
Yes.
Sunday night is must-see TV, though. Sunday night football on NBC, on TSN up here. You can hear the game on TSN radio. It's Pats at home against the Chiefs. And the Kansas City Chiefs, man, 5-0, Patrick Mahomes, people handing this guy the MVP, people handing Kansas City the top seed in the AFC. And I kind of get the sense like the Patriots have had enough of that. The Pats had a slow start, but they've done this before in September. Now it's October, they're 3-2, they've won two big games in a row.
Right.
We got a guy on the line who's familiar with the Pats, familiar with winning. Defensive lineman with the New England Patriots, making his debut on the show.
Right.
Here's Lawrence Guy. What's up, Lawrence? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
We're looking forward to Sunday night. We were playing the Belichick clip from a couple of days ago where people were trying to provoke him to kind of pump the tires of Kansas City and promote the game, and he just simply would not do it.
Said they're all problems. The quarterback's a problem.
Yeah.
Everything's a problem.
I think we're getting ready to play Kansas City. It was something along those lines. Are you willing to step out a little bit further than your head coach and kind of promote and pump the tires of what should be a great game on Sunday night?
You know, it's going to be one of those games that everybody is going to watch. It's a must-see game. You got two teams that are two really good offenses, and we got two really good defenses going at it. And it's going to be a battle of the down, pretty much.
How much fun is
that? East down counts. It's a blast. It's something you can't think about doing it until you do it. When you look out there like, hey, everybody's going to see me do this. Everybody might see me mess up if I mess up, but this is going to be one fun game.
Well, as a D lineman, when you consider what kind of numbers Patrick Mahomes has been putting up, like just stats that are staggering, we've never really seen it before, does that make you nervous? Does it make you excited? I mean, how do you prepare for a kid like this who's rolling into your house and is playing this well?
Well, you know, as a D lineman, I'm more focused on the offensive line shot off the back, you know. I got two people I might have to go against. I have to find out who I'm going to hit about first. So that's the first thing I do. But then we go to the quarterback position. He's putting up numbers. He's a phenomenal athlete. You see it. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to who can execute better, who can play a better down-for-down game. And that's going to have the outcome of the game. And like I told people before, it's all about who has the most heart on Sunday night. It's going to who's going to come out victorious on Sunday night. And that's it. Because you could be a better team and not bring it that day, or you could be a horrible team and bring it that day and win. It's all about who's going to leave it all on the line every single play to be successful.
It seems like you guys, I mean, in big situations, there's a lot of talk about Kansas City, their offense, and the numbers they're putting up. It seems like you guys, this is a game where you'll game plan and have a strategy where everything will be different. How big is the coaching staff, guys like Tom Brady in big games, to make sure everybody's calm and can execute in a situation like this?
You know, we're in New England. Every game's a big game for us. So every game is a make or break a game for us. So that's just how we came into the week, came in last week the same way. We're going to come in every single week the same way. Like, that's the best thing about playing for this organization. It's every game's the big game. There's no game that's, oh, this is whoever, we're just going to roll over. No, every game's a big game. You prepare the same amount for every single team. And we have a good game plan, a good system, and we've been practicing, busting our butts every single day to make sure we fix some mistakes, improve on our good plays, and continue to roll on.
With Lawrence Guy, defensive lineman with the New England Patriots, it's Pats at home against the Chiefs on Sunday night. You've played at a few different spots in the league. The Pats have this reputation of no fun, all business. Belichick and Brady set the tone, and everyone falls in line. How much truth is there behind that?
Well, I have to plead the fifth.
No, we can't accept that, man.
Right there.
We cannot accept that.
You know, when we get here, whatever happens at the facility stays at the facility. It's like going to Vegas. Whatever happens there stays there. You know, but like I said, it's a blast going to work every day. I don't go to work. I'm like, oh man, this is a drag. It's a complete true experience to step in foot into that locker room, on that practice field, off that. And you know, we have good camaraderie throughout the whole team. So we always laugh here and there. We have those individuals that are unique with unique personality. So it's always a good time going to work. But you also know how serious it is. And like I said, every game is a big game. So that's part of it. But that makes the organization so great because we have a mixture of both of it. And, you know, to the outside world is no fun zone. There's no this. If y'all want to think that way, it's fine.
Must be fun going to the Super Bowl, though, right? And, like, winning the AFC
winning
East every
game,
year.
Winning every night. That's got to be fun.
Yeah. I don't win a Super Bowl.
No, I know, but you got there, right? Like, no, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, getting there must be fun.
Yeah, getting there was a blast, you know. And then we go with that. It's great, too, though. But, like, that's what you play this game for. You play this game to win championships. And you play this game to go out there and knowing that you're going to have the full-on best potential out of each one of your teammates. And when you go to this team and you become a Patriot, that's what you get. You get nothing else. You don't get people that slack off and or don't take responsibility for their mistakes. You get a person that's going to man up and like, this is my fault. I need to fix it. I need to do better. I'm going to do better for my teammates. I'm going to do better for myself and my coaching staff. And that's what you want in a teammate and what you want in a player.
Have you had the chance to party with Rob Gronkowski?
Years ago. you know, he went to Arizona and I went to Arizona State. So I just told him this story years ago. I was like, I don't know if you remember this, but when we was in college, he came down to Tucson and we hung out for a day. He's like, I had no idea. I was like, it's one of those days I probably would have forgot about too. But I remember that laugh you have. And I was like, no doubt, I'm never going to forget the laugh. You know, and he was like, are you serious? I'm like, I'm dead serious. Told him about the whole day. He's like, oh, that sounds like me. I'm like, yeah, that was you. It's the only thing I can remember. Everybody else that day is a blur, but I remember you.
Well, does it all add up? I mean, he's like a mythical figure in the sports world in a way. You know, he's a guy. He's all business when he plays. You know, the guy, he's maybe the greatest tight end of all time. But, man, he likes to have a good time when it's during the off season. I mean, is that just for show, or is that the real deal Holyfield behind the scene?
Well, you know, we're all adults at the end of the day. And during season, you know, we're all about business. In off season, you train, then what you do with your free time, what you do with your free time. That's pretty much it. He's enjoying his life, and I don't blame him. Go ahead, enjoy your life, have a good time. But you can see he also putting that work during that time to make sure he's ready for season. So he has a good mixture of both of them. Those ones days, I'm like, hey, just give me a call sometime.
Yeah, hey, exactly.
Give me a ring. Let me know what you're doing. Let me see if I want to come out with you.
Yeah, let me be a part of that entourage every once in a while.
You want to dance with Shaq, let me know.
Yes, exactly. With Lawrence Guy, defensive end of the New England Patriots. We'd be remiss not to bring this up because we missed out on this opportunity yesterday. We had Brent Urban on, the defensive lineman down in Baltimore yesterday, who's a Mississauga kid, a suburb up here in Toronto, and he's 6'7", 295. You were 6'4",
yeah,
315.
Brent, I know Brent very well.
You know Brent well?
Yeah, I know Brent very well. I played with the Ravens for a couple of years.
Well, we got to get the details on what you guys do on a cheat day. If you go to the Cheesecake Factory or
McDonald's,
wherever, McDonald's,
like,
whatever it is.
What's the order? What does it look like?
What's it look like at 6'4", 315 when you get the chance to cheat?
You know, you get those little looks at everybody, and they're like, I wonder what he does for a living. So, and, you know, it's one of those, you know, you call an Uber, and the last Uber I got into, and they looked at me and they said, you're very large. What do you do? And I was like, man, I said, you wouldn't believe this, but I went and went pro, but I had this knee injury in high school that took me out. So right now, I just do a lot of real estate. And I'm like, really? I'm like, I'm telling you, the size, it was meant to be, but, you know, This knee injury I had in high school, I couldn't make it, I understand, but real estate is my thing. And one guy called me out and they said, yeah, tell me about your real estate. And I'm like, well, yeah.
The red zone. Yeah. That's the real estate. I try to get across the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yeah. No, did Brent tell you about the Golden Knights?
No.
Is that what he was? Oh, he wasn't telling you about the Golden Knights.
Okay. What's that all about?
I'm a Las Vegas born and raised.
Oh, okay. So you're on that. Are you on that bandwagon? Because they're off to a pretty poor start, man. They have not been playing well early in this season.
It's okay. When you don't have a professional team, and now you have a professional team, go Knights.
Yeah. All right. Go Knights, man. That was a great story last year. Well, good luck Sunday night and the rest of the way. This was great catching up with you, man. We really appreciate you doing it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me on the show.
There's Lawrence Guy, 6'4", 315 out of New England.
Big man.
Big man. Golden Knights fan. Anyone from Vegas, immediately a Golden Knights fan.
They just don't want to get into the details, though. Like, we want numbers. We want stats.
I know. He's like Uber Eats, and the guy was just shocked by the size of him. But he would not give us the actual order.
Yeah. Well.
What are you going to do?
What if he was like, it's four pizzas and wings and...
Wouldn't shock
or
me in the least.
Maybe their strength and conditioning coach monitors
streaming
everything.
The show
exactly.
Online. Some guy down in Boston is freaking out at this guy's Uber Eats order. Anyway, Pats, Chiefs Sunday night. Last time we checked, Pats favorites. I might sprinkle on the Pats. I mean, the Chiefs are going to run into it at some point. They're going to stub their toe at some point. And I think Belichick against Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't.
That's a tough assignment.
Don't
for the
sleep
kid.
On Belichick.
No.
You know he's got something up his sleeve.
Yeah, he's always ready for these big moments. All right, we'll get back into the Leafs. We're going to bring back Level of Concern. We've got a lot of different options. Todd McClellan, where's he at?
Yeah.
Buffalo
Lots
Sabres.
Of options.
There's a lot of different options. So we'll tell you more about that. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
You can never, ever ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
I do. I really do.
Here it is, boys. It's back. It's Level of Concern. What an intro.
That
is the best segment. I can't believe we deviated from that and left it.
Well, the Leafs actually started doing the right things and winning games and having good players. And
yeah.
You know, it was fun to play when it was Phil and Horacek and Dion and Nonis. Yeah. And
anyway, it's back and there's options here. This is, we'll bring up a subject, and you're going to discuss your level of concern. There's a 6-pack, a 12-pack, a 77 of Natty Lights, and then there's Nick Cage in Vegas. So
wait a minute, though. If you're not that concerned, you're still having a 6-pack?
That doesn't feel like take the edge off.
Of course. Like a 6-pack of Bud Lights, it's just, that's an afternoon cut in the grass, right?
I still think 6-pack is a bit rich. Shouldn't you just have like one or two?
Maybe a pint. Why don't we go pint, 6-pack, 12-pack, Natty Light.
Yeah.
There's a 77 in Natty Lights.
Yeah, 77.
All right, let's kick this off. The first topic for Level of Concern is the Leafs, is there too much overhype? We're pumping up the tires. Is there going to be a fall from glory here? Is it too much too soon? What is your level of concern?
I will say a 6-pack, okay, because I had them as winning like 105 points, 107 points. They were a playoff team for me anyway. They have been the past 2 years. I thought they would lead the league in scoring or real close to it. Like, everything that's played out, I know they haven't played the greatest competition, and some of these numbers have been just outrageous. Yes, they will scale back. Yes, they will hit a bit of a wall. It may be tomorrow night in Washington. But I'm not concerned that all of a sudden they're going to react poorly once they lose a couple of games, or, you know, that we're going to freak out because of a third period in Detroit or this, that, or the other. I'm a 6-pack.
I'm a 6-pack, too. I think this is fantastic. It's great for the organization. It's great for the talent. Guys like John Tavares who came here, you never want to see a guy struggle. But there's just that concern where they got, Jamie talked about their schedule. They got a tough schedule coming up. And if they don't get defensive play and their D-core can't stand up and their goaltender, who knows what Garrett Sparks is going to do coming up. There is a 6-pack involved, but I don't think that's too great.
I think it's a 6-pack because even in a market correction, we'll call it, scheduling, inconsistent play, I'm not even worried about that. I believe they're going to be there in the end where we think they're going to be as far as the 100 points, you know, all of that type of stuff. My level of concern just comes with systematic play against. So that's Mike Babcock has, what does he have now? 77 games and counting to get this team to play. I know it's such a hockey term, the right way, in games where, like last night, prime example, like I know they gave up shots and chances in the third period. It probably could have gone that way, but you didn't feel like they were going to lose that game.
And Babcock's got to pick his spots.
But
he can't yell and scream about
But against a good team, that stuff bites you, and you can't have some missed assignments or some looser play. So that's my only level of concern. It's a 6-pack.
Garrett Sparks still a little maybe worthy of a couple of beers.
There's
but
a couple holes anyway. In the lineup. But
he might be a pint and a shot.
Yeah, maybe.
Next up, level of concern, the Oilers. Their schedule, their performance through two games, Todd McClellan coaching, the whole lineup, everything Oilers. What is your level of concern? The Natty Light 77 pack?
Yes, I would be going and getting a 77 pack.
Really?
Right now. Dude, 0-2 have not looked good. The schedule is brutal. They were awful last year. They didn't do anything in the offseason to make an adjustment. They just, you know, they're making philosophical adjustments, but there isn't like a fusion of young talent or nothing's really changed that much. And if I'm an Oilers fan, this just feels like deja vu. It does not feel like the start that you would want. Obviously, at 0-2, they're in New York tomorrow, in Winnipeg early next week, and then they go home and they play Boston, Nashville, Washington, Pittsburgh. And then on the road for a back-to-back at Nashville, at Chicago.
That's, you're a 77 Natty Light.
Yes, I am.
I think that's premature.
I didn't like them anyway, though. I didn't have them as a playoff team. So the fact that I didn't think they were a very good team anyway. It's,
I'm having a drink and a six-pack. So the first and second.
You're a pint and a six-pack.
Pint and a six-pack.
Interesting.
So it's a seven-pack.
Seven and a half.
Yeah, 7.5. Because you needed one win out of these two just to kind of get the, hey, look at last year compared to this year. But I'm not convinced that 97 isn't able to just drag everyone along with them. Ooh. The goaltender stops the puck. I went through it. They're a better team than people think, but it's easy to point at their 0-2 record, but it's two games in 2 weeks.
This is tough after two games, but I'm this.
You can never, ever ask me to stop drinking.
You're Nicolas Cage?
I'm Nick Cage. It's the same team from last year.
Remember this, what you guys said about the Winnipeg Jets three games in last year.
I was Nick Cage on that. We got to do a quick little segment before we get back to sports stuff. Carlos' health concern.
Nick Cage, since he's been 18 years old.
I don't
around the horn.
Play Nick.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
Carlos' wife is Elizabeth Shue.
You think it's that bad, eh?
Like, yes.
I'm worried about the guy. He blew his knee out or his
quad out. His quad. Preparing to kick field goals at the Argo game tonight.
I would have loved to see him kick that.
I know. It's
all
disappointing.
Right, let's get back to work here. Level of concern. Kawhi Leonard liking Toronto, adapting to the culture, and possibly staying here as a rap long term. Level of concern.
I don't know enough right now, man. Like, nothing's changed since the trade. Like, you know, he's saying all the right things. His attitude, by all accounts, has been great. He's been vocal in the, you know, scrimmages and during the games. I'm probably at a 12-pack. I've been at a 12-pack since the trade. You know, I'm still leaning towards the safe money being that he takes advantage of free agency and goes wherever he's always wanted to be. But I don't think it's anywhere close to Nick Cage. I've never been Nick Cage. I've never been 77 Natty Lights. I've always felt pretty comfortable that Masai and company can sell this guy on Toronto. 12-pack.
But I just need clarification. Like, if I'm...
Him staying a rap, loving the rap, staying a rap.
I think he loves the raps for one season and he's gone.
Okay, so what does that mean? You're a 77-pack in Natty Lights.
You're Nick.
I'm going somewhere in between there. Because if they make it to the finals, which is
they
very,
could do that.
Which is very, you know, possible, given what's the teams? Boston, Philly, maybe?
Boston, Philly, you know, okay,
so
Indiana,
let's just say they
Washington,
have a deep playoff
Milwaukee.
Run. Why wouldn't you want to sign into that? But
I want to know where you're at. What are you?
I'm not a 77. I'm a little bit lower than that.
You're a 12 packs.
Yes, give me a 12 pack and a drink, a shot and a half.
Look at you adding to the
He's
order.
Adding
you just,
to level
just
of
in
concern.
Between. Yeah. You start off and then you add the 12 pack.
Individual bill, please.
This one is very simple for me.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
Okay, let's kick it back to the Leafs. The secondary core, Jake Gardner, Nazem Kadri, Patrick Marleau, their depth. What is your level of concern about their involvement of the team, how they feel a part of the team? Level of concern.
I'm a pint. I'm not concerned at all. I'm really not. I think things are going to move around here. Like, what I will say this, it's a bit awkward to watch Nazem Kadri on that first power play unit. He looks like the younger brother who's allowed to play with his older brother's buddies.
Yeah, he needs a goal.
He knows he's just the decoy, and he just kind of turns around.
Right,
and
he mirrors the play.
Yeah, and it's like, thanks, but you could put you could put a garden gnome out there, and it wouldn't make much of a difference. But Gardner's going to be better. I know he's a whipping boy in the city. You know, I've been leading the charge at times when he deserves it. I don't know what's up with him right now, but he's better than this, and eventually he's going to realize, even if it is him pouting that he's not a part of the future, which I don't believe he is, he's playing for a contract, and this is the first chance for him to really get paid. 28, 29-year-old defenseman. He'll be fine. Marlowe's going to have to move down the lineup at some point. I don't think he's... kind of like Ron Hainsey in a way. I don't think it's fair to him to expect him to keep up with the best players in the game. And I think eventually he moves down with Kadri, and that factors into how Kadri feels. And I think Kapanen's played well. Hyman's played well. I think Zaitsev's had a pretty good start. Dermott's been fine.
So what are you, a shot and a pint?
No, I'm a pint.
Just a pint.
Feet up, pint. I'm not too worried about it.
I'm a pint as well.
I'm a six-pack just because I think that's not much.
Not for us.
Just because I think they're a very top-heavy team. The bottom of the lineup still has to push through. Like, if we actually just took apart, and that's so unfair to say, if you only took Matthews and Marner and Tavares out of the lineup, you're not going to do that. But if you just moved them out of the way and looked at the bottom six, it's not as sexy as one might like. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you, but... that's the cap era now.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's
I'm not suggesting that any other team...
Yeah, no one's...
Like, I'm not... I think Winnipeg has more depth, but I'm just saying, like, when I'm looking at it, we just said the bottom of the lineup, and that's not fair because Marlowe's higher up, Gardner's higher up. I'm looking at past that line.
Ennis, Levo, Lindholm. I thought Lindholm played pretty well last night,
actually.
Yeah,
he did, but it's... You know, guys who work hard, you don't get a... You get the participation badge. Like, I want to see a little bit more production. That's all. All
right. Quick segment. Buffalo Sabres, level of concern. 2-2, Jamie?
Team? They're 2-2. Yeah.
2-2, got dummied by Colorado.
I mean, that's a one-off, but I don't have them in the playoffs, so I guess I'll say 12-pack, because regardless of how it starts, I think inevitably they have to start moving up. I don't have them as a playoff team, though.
Yeah, I'm a 12-pack as well. You know, last night's a little concerning.
I was a 6-pack.
What about Vegas, 1-4 to start the season? Where are you at leaving Las Vegas?
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
That's where I'm at with Vegas right now.
1-4? How can you not be?
Yeah, you are in trouble. It's like... And I thought they would be better than they were last year. They got some injury problems now. I don't know. I'm Nicolas Cage on this one.
I'm not so... I mean...
Don't try to host my segment either. Okay. My job.
I'm a 2-4. All right. I'm a 2-4.
You're a 2-4?
It's not an option. You've got to go from a 12-er.
Noodle's been creating his own order the whole time anyway.
A 6-pack and 12-pack.
And a shot. Throw a Burt Reynolds in there. It's like, exactly. What does that mean?
Yeah,
I'm Nick.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
Okay, last one. William Nylander's contract situation, becoming a Leaf or being a Leaf going forward. It's starting to get a little bit dicey.
Okay, from which perspective here? Like,
just
are you asking, what's his agent thinking? What's his agent's level of concern? Is that what you're asking?
I think if you're an observer of the team and you support the team, him coming back here to play for the team, what is your level of concern?
I think he's going to be a Leaf. I've always believed that. I still believe it. I think the Leafs are not going to budge. They never were going to budge. I don't know what number they've put on the table. You know, I think eventually what will happen is, I shouldn't say they'll never budge. There will probably be a bit of an adjustment at some point where instead of 8 years, they're like, okay, we'll give you 6 at this, or 5, and walk you to free agency if we have to. You know, something along those lines. But the money is what it is. Like, William Nylander is not getting north of 7 from the Leafs. It's not happening.
I've got a weird feeling that he is like, I'll see you at December 1st. We'll get this. Like,
fine.
And then,
you're
chicken, though.
You're like, Nick Cage.
But
the Leafs need him, but he needs them more than the Leafs need him.
I understand that, but
you can't be a 22-year-old and just take a year off because of a contract.
Yeah, like, what are the Leafs sitting in a boardroom saying, well, we want to beat teams 14-1 instead of 8-1?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm saying deeper into the, like, down the stretch, you're going to need, like, we talk about depth. Like, this is a guy who is a really good player. He's not a superstar. He's a really good player. Like, And if the Leafs want to go deep in the playoffs, like, this is a guy who can really help you out. I think he's resigned himself, like, we'll pick this back up in November type of thing.
That's fine. I mean, and he has the right to do that. I tend to agree with you. I mean, if you've gone this far, if you've waited five games,
spot committed now.
Why are you going to call now?
Yeah.
You know, you may as, if you have some sort of an idea of what you want to see happen, you know, his agent is not stupid. His agent's got a plan. But the plan is based upon how they hope the Leafs are going to react.
Right.
And I don't believe the Leafs are in a position where they can come. They're not going to crawl the William Nylander.
No, they're not.
And they can't.
I'm a 77 pack of Natty Lights.
Really?
I'm a little bit.
For what, his future in Toronto?
I don't know. I think it's going to get ugly, and I don't know what's going to happen here.
I'm just a six pack.
I'm 77 Natty Lights.
I'm not as concerned.
And
as it goes longer, I just think it can get done.
You need a shot on top of 77
a Burt
Natty
Reynolds?
Lights.
If you were doing a cottage day, can you do 77 Natty Lights?
No, nobody can. Andre the Giant is the only man that could do that.
And Wade Boggs.
And Wade Boggs.
My buddies.
Dude, 77? Like, do you know how much consumption that is? You couldn't drink 77 waters.
Yeah, it's terrible. You know?
It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, with Nylander, I don't know, man. I mean, I kind of sense, obviously, he has decided, I've got a number in mind, and I believe this is what I'm worth, and this is what I should get. And he's entitled to that. He's entitled to representation. He's not a holdout, as we know. They don't have a contract signed. But the Leafs, I think if the Leafs pay him a cent over, on average, 6.5 per year, they lost. Really, yeah. I do. I mean, you look at Pastrnak. Pastrnak signed, I believe it was last year, Pastrnak signed.
Yeah.
Last year. 6 years, 6.6. Pastrnak is better than Nylander every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Hell of a player.
He's an absolute superstar, and he got six for 6.6 a year ago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, William. Like, that's it, man. Like, put on the Pastrnak highlight, ship it off to Sweden, and say, call us when you're ready. Like, that's... It's that simple.
Yeah, you're right.
And as much as I would love to see him on this team, and I agree with you, at some point they're going to miss him, and they're going to need him, and he's an important piece. He's still a core piece for me, and I'm sure Dubas feels the same way.
Yeah.
But I don't believe Dubas is going to wake up on November 30th and panic and say, all right, 8 years, 8.5, you won.
Not even close.
You can't do that. It would be better... philosophically, in terms of them proving points and showing resolve, for them to say, go ahead, sit the whole year. As much as that would suck.
Right, there's no agreement with the K in the NHL, right? He'd have to go to the K?
He can sign anywhere he wants. He's a free agent. He can talk to other teams in the NHL. They can talk to him and offer sheets.
He's an RFA, yeah.
Yeah. He can do whatever he wants, to my knowledge.
I don't think anybody would ever do this, and this is way off topic, ridiculous, but... would somebody try and mess with the Leafs and offer him a sheet too high so that would mess their salary structure?
That's been brought up. That,
like, Lou goes, here's 8.5 or 9 million, and then now that's the scaling ladder for Marner.
Absolutely.
And
it wouldn't shock me if that was a part of their thought process, too. Like,
it's bad business, though. Then you're going to overpay for William Nylander.
And the problem is, again, based on the history of offer sheets in hockey, the reason it doesn't happen is because GMs are like, I don't want to create an enemy.
Yeah.
Why am I going to do this to screw over a team for what?
Yeah.
That's a joke. It's within the rules. I don't know why a team...
I know that, but what comes around goes around.
But you're right. That's really? Not the player, would you?
Well, okay.
Did Anaheim ever get revenge on Edmonton?
I don't know.
Technically not.
Did Nashville
ever... Pronger from Edmonton, didn't they? And they won a cup.
Yeah.
Anaheim did.
But that was after the cup, though, wasn't it? Dustin Penner was on that cup when
I'm just saying.
Did Nashville ever get revenge on Philly for
I hear you. I'm just saying. Like, I would go forward with it personally. I agree with you. It's a part of the CBA. Why not? But there's a reason why GMs don't do it. Like, there's a reason why teams don't do it. It may be even on a higher level. It may be owners. Could be that simple. They've all been in the boardroom and just, hey, gentlemen's agreement, don't screw people over here.
Yeah,
and the GMs they can't even do it if they wanted to because the owner said no.
Yeah, that's probably true. I'm sure there is some collusion.
Another thing is you got to remember, screwing over the lease, but are you screwing over yourself too by overpaying a guy?
And all these draft picks you got to give away.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. If, let's say the Leafs don't match, which I think they probably would, but then you're giving away draft picks, but also you're saying, Like, if you pay William Nylander 9.5, you're incompetent. Yeah. Like, I don't care if you screwed over the Leafs, you're a joke, because he's not worth anywhere close to that.
Right.
With all due respect to him, what you're telling the world is you're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. And your team's garbage.
And your team's garbage. So that's another thing. I think GMs are sensitive to that. They're like, why would I offer him 9.5?
Yeah,
what do
exactly.
I look like? You know?
Anyway, it's been a great return.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to have to do this on a weekly basis.
No kidding.
Level of concern. Because it was always Leaf-related for the most part, or Toronto sports-related.
No. We're going to go all around the board here, and level of concern is back.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
Love it.
Okay. I like how she says.
I know. She's like, I know. I won't. She's like, I know, Nick. You idiot. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up a busy weekend in the sports world. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NFL board this weekend, I'm on the Pats -3 at home. Level of concern? No, don't.
Oh, okay.
Don't play Nicolas Cage.
I'm a Nick Cage on that. I just think KC, although I love the Pats, what they do as far as the scheme, shutting stuff down, I would be Nick Cage.
Okay. Concerned?
Minnesota is laying 11 points at home against Arizona.
You're going to do it again?
The last time I bet on Mini as a double-digit favorite, Bills went in and spanked them. It is a very, very similar setup. Josh Rosen is now the starting quarterback for Arizona.
Arizona's got dumped on.
Yeah, you did.
I'm laying the points, Minnesota at home. I think they lay a beating on Arizona.
Okay. Wow.
And Oakland, +3.5 at home against Seattle. John Gruden.
They're 1-4.
Yeah, they're terrible. But Seattle's not any good either.
But they're trying to, isn't Gruden and crew trying to be bad?
I don't know. I read a piece that they're trying. No. They might get out of Oakland earlier than expected. Did you not see that?
Yeah, they want to get to Vegas quickly. Quickly. And Gruden's making $10 million a year, man. It's not for a tank job. Like, this isn't a Babcock routine, I don't think. He's turning over the roster, but they just paid Derek Carr, $100 million or whatever a couple of years ago. Get going.
Exactly.
Throw down 20. You can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Someone texting in saying level of concern was brilliant. Brilliant.
Yes, was brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great call. And it's going to be back forever.
I think we do this every Friday, maybe. Every Friday at 6:30, level of concern.
Heading into the weekend, level of concern.
What's your level of concern that the Leafs run into a tough game tomorrow night in Washington?
Well, it's going to be.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
You got to include her saying okay after.
Mm-hmm. It's like the old Trump Lion Ted Cruz. You need the whole clip to really appreciate it.
Lion Ted. Yeah. Ooh.
Ted Cruz, Lion Ted.
I'm concerned, but it doesn't mean that they're going to get rinsed or anything. It's just going to be a good game.
Like, yeah,
it's
going to
be good hockey.
Yeah. I would be Nick Cage if I was one of the goalies tomorrow night.
Although the Leafs, they got a little bit of Belichick and the Pats in them where they know how to kind of buckle down and tighten things up. A lot of times after back-to-back, they lose that first game. You're like, oh, man, they're going into a town. They're going to get killed. And they don't. They respond. They play defensively well. So maybe it's not a Nick Cage situation in Washington.
No, I think it'll be a fun game. I mean, Washington, they got embarrassed last night in Jersey. Like, that was really ugly and really bad. They will be ready to bounce back. And they understand who's coming in, right? Like, it's funny. The Caps are the Cup winners. They're the champs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Leafs that should be looking at Washington as, okay, that's where we've got to get to. This is a team who beat us a couple of years ago in the playoffs. But there will be mutual respect. I mean, Washington's well aware of the numbers that the Leafs are putting up. And you know the teams throughout the league are like, okay, give me a shot at these guys because I'm going to shut them up finally. You know, shut up Tavares and Matthews and Riley and Marner because the four of them are leading the league in points right now. Now, they've played more games than anybody else in the league, which is a detail that no one really brings up.
Nobody's pointing that out, but that's semantics.
Well, but in reality, Morgan Orr is, he's beat a record held by Bobby Orr through five games, right? So, give him some respect.
Oh, plenty of respect. I think Morgan Riley is the the biggest surprise story in the National Hockey League right now.
Yeah. That's a record I wasn't even aware existed.
Right.
But if you asked me, what's, you know, who do I think owns that record, I would have said Bobby Orr. You know, 11 points in five games sounds like something Bobby Orr would have done. But anyway.
And he doesn't want to talk about it either. He's like, I refuse to talk about it. Team stuff.
Good for him.
I like it.
Yeah, I like that too. I find it hard to believe. I think he should be cherishing what's going on. Why would you not? Why would you not be proud of 12 points in five games?
Yeah, and he scored a slap shot goal last night, which is odd. He never takes slap shots.
You know what? I was thinking that myself when he did it. Like, I'm sure he has scored a slap shot goal at some point in his career, but he never takes them.
No, it's a wrister. It's not.
He fans on them all the time. You set him up for a slap shot one timer, he will fan 90% of the time.
Bill was the same way when he was in Toronto. Yeah. Never slap shot one timers. Just want the puck, wrist it. Mm-hmm. Which whatever works.
Exactly. And Phil had a hat trick, a quiet one.
You see that Phil play last night where the ref was like, "Hurry up, Phil, get on the ice. You got your new stick." And he wheeled right to the face-off dot, just sat down like that, won the draw, ripped in the net.
I know. Mm-hmm. But he...
Couple breakaways.
Two breakaway goals, too.
You think Phil hits 90 points again this year?
It's close. I mean, it's
90's a big number. He's never done that before, I don't think.
We did it, yeah.
Last year he did it.
Yeah.
He had 92, but prior to that. He's been high
80s. I could see him 80.
I'm a six-pack on that. You never know. He could do it.
Right.
Certainly capable of doing it, for sure.
Yeah, on that team, high octane offense.
Yeah.
Phil will get his. Don't you worry about it.
Do we have the full clip? Can we play? Okay.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
I really do.
We'll be back on Monday at 4.
We'll chat then.